This morning I'd like to read from Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise. That was her desire, to be wise, to be like God. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? This morning, I would like to preach for just a little while. I am conscious of the time. Reaching out to God were the first two questions. Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us today, oh God, that you would lead us and guide us, that your anointing would move and flow in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would take us back to that place, God. Lord, that there would be a hunger and a desire inside of us, oh God, to be what it is that you've called us to be and know you in a way that you desire to know us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Mike Villauer was 58 years old. He lived in Sacramento, California. And on August the 6th, he decided that he was going fishing that morning. He got up, he ate breakfast, and he went out to Sunset Lake in Alpine County. He noticed, I don't know what kind of a fisherman he was. He definitely wasn't any kind of a survivalist. But as he fished, he realized that whatever he was fishing with was not adequate and was not working. And so he decided that he was going to scour the mountainside for grasshoppers. And he thought that that would be a better bait than what he was using. And so he had a butterfly net in hand, and he began. He left all of his supplies there, sitting next to the lake, and he went up the side of the mountain, and he began to hunt for grasshoppers. Instead of making landmarks, instead of looking for areas of that he could remember, he was intent on catching grasshoppers, and so he was constantly had his head down. He was looking under rocks, he was moving grass, and he was doing everything that he could to stir up some kind of bait that he could use for fishing. It wasn't long before he realized that he'd been doing this for several hours and that he'd lost his bearings and that the sun was beginning to go down and that he needed to find his way back to the lake. He was apparently had gone so far back in the woods that he couldn't find his way back out. And by the end of that night, he realized that he was probably going to be staying the night there in those woods. So he found a tree and he covered himself up with pine needles and he went to sleep that night. He woke up the next morning on Thursday and he felt like that obviously he couldn't have gone that far so he could find his way back on Thursday. He still had his cell phone but could not get enough signal to get a call out, could get enough signal to look like he had signal. But while he kept trying to make phone calls, eventually his phone finally died, and he spent the rest of that Thursday walking through the woods and through the mountains. He'd find puddles where there was water, and he said that he came up with a survival man routine in his own mind, and he thought that it would help get him through. And so wherever he found a puddle, he would drink that puddle. It didn't matter what was in it or what was going on, and he just wanted to try to stay hydrated. But by the end of Thursday, he'd realized that he was very lost. He found a stream, and streams always go downhill, and they've got to lead to somewhere. So finally, he found a dried-up stream, and he went to sleep that night next to that stream and figured he would follow it down the side of the mountain that night, and it would lead into another body of water and finally get him back out to the lake. So he spent all day Friday following the stream, but to no avail. The stream ended up into a place that was not the lake, and it was just a washout, and he wasted all of Friday looking and following that stream. By this point, he had no clue where he was. He finally came to the realization that he was very lost, that nobody knew exactly where he was. He didn't tell anybody exactly where he was, and that he was in trouble. I wonder if Eli ever came to the place in his own life as he sat there in the temple that he ever wondered, how did I get so far away from God? As Eli sat there and he listened to Hannah have a move of God in her life in a prayer meeting, that he was so disconnected from a move of God that he didn't even realize that that's what Hannah was having in her own life. As Hannah was saying, I've got to have a child, I've got to have a miracle in my life, as she was praying for the prophet Samuel, who became her son, he had no idea that that's what Hannah was doing. He mistook a move of God for drunkenness, and he literally scolded her and told her that she needed to straighten up. I wonder, as Judas, as he walked with Jesus every day and slept in the same vicinity of him, within a stone's throw of him every night, realized that he was lost, that even though he walked with Jesus, even though he heard the teaching of Jesus, even though that Jesus spent time with him and prayed with him, that when was the realization that it came to him? Was it when he took that money and threw it back into the hands of the Pharisees, or he took that rope and he wrapped it around the tree and he finally gave up life, that he realized that he had no clue where he was at that moment in time in his life? I wonder when Solomon finally woke up and realized that it didn't matter how great the temple that he had built. It didn't matter that he went to it every day and he basked in all of the decisions that he had made. He could walk into that temple and say that this wasn't a design in the original temple, but I added this door here and I put this over here. And it was my idea to do the trust that way. And it was my idea to put the gold there and these diamonds over here. But it didn't matter that he built the temple. It didn't matter that he knew the inner workings of the temple. It didn't matter that he knew every nook and cranny and hidden space and storage room in this building. He was lost and far from God. We always fall away. We always find ourselves looking for something else when we are not satisfied with what God has given us. When we find ourselves looking at something else and wondering, I wonder if that would bring joy or happiness into my life, instead of trying to find it in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It was Eve that we read about this morning, as she looked at this tree and said that it was good to eat and that it would bring wisdom into her life. That at what moment did she ever think that this was going to be a positive experience? When did she realize that she was lost? Was it when her eyes were opened and she realized that they were naked and they begin to sew fig leaves just out of the conviction of their own heart to cover themselves up? Was it when God began to walk through the garden and call for them, and the scripture says that they literally fled from the presence of the Lord and hid in the trees? Was it at that moment that she realized that she was lost, that she realized that somehow, some way, that she had drifted away from where God wanted her to be? Somehow, some way, that she had found herself further from God than she realized? She thought this decision would bring her closer to God, that because of the knowledge that I received, that maybe now we can have deeper conversations, or we will be equals and it will be different between us. But now she has found herself far, far, far from God. Saturday morning, there was no relief. He had not eaten since Wednesday. And he finally, out of desperation, this is what leads me to believe that he had no idea what he was doing, as that he began to eat dandelions Saturday morning. He had no clue where to go or what to do. He would climb a ridge and realize that it was not there. And he would climb another ridge, hoping he would get to the top and be able to see something in the distance. But when he made it to that ridge, all he learned is that there was a higher ridge and that he was still in valleys. There was still nothing within sight. And in his confusion and in his desperation, he would go back to the place that he was that morning on Saturday night as he wandered aimlessly lost in this national forest. He was confused. He was lost. He had no clue where he was going or what he was doing. Finally, on Saturday, he heard a helicopter in the distance, and he began to get excited about what he might see or what happened, and he began to run. He would wave his shirt and get out into the middle of fields and try to get their attention. But as these helicopters flew by, he knew that they were working grids and that there was possibly no way that they were going to come back. He would get excited for a moment when he would hear the helicopter in the distance, and then he would go back to the depths of desperation as the helicopter flew away. Finally, by the end of the day, one did pass over by him, and he waved and tried to get its attention, but with no avail. He made his way back to the little place of boards that he'd created, a shelter against a rock. And he took a piece of driftwood and he began to carve in that driftwood to his wife. "Honey, I love you. Honey, I'm sorry that I've put us in this predicament. I'm sorry that I've allowed myself to get lost. I'm sorry that I allowed myself to be where I am." He began to write letters to everyone that he loved, and he would fill up one piece of driftwood with that stone that he would cut, and he'd pick up another piece of driftwood, and he would begin to write in that stone as he would begin to apologize for allowing himself to get into the predicament that he was in. After he wrote his goodbye letters, he went in with pine straw, spelled out "help." It worked in the movies, and so he spelled out "help" in to the best that he could there in pine straw, and he finally went to sleep that Saturday night. No food, barely any water now for almost 5 days. That next morning was much of the same. There was no future. There was nothing that was coming his way until he heard a helicopter in the distance. He began to wave his shirt again. He had a blue shirt that was all brown now, but he waved it out in that field, doing everything that he could to try to get the attention of that helicopter pilot and try to make sure that they saw him. They made a pass by and they saw, and they made a pass back by and they began to circle, and everything inside of him became joyous. He began to hear dogs barking in the distance as they began to make their way towards him, and the feeling of success, the feeling of being found, that feeling of being lost, but now that somebody had invested something to be able to find him that day. It was that Sunday afternoon that the dogs made their way into that valley. The tears of joy that began to stream down his face as he realized that he'd been found. Men with orange vests began to flood into the field as they picked him up and gave him a small meal. And in his weakness, they helped to literally carry him miles and miles back from the direction that he'd came to a place where they could pick them up and take them into town. His wife was waiting at the hotel as they dropped him off. There was hundreds of people that have been issued out. It was the largest manhunt this past year. And they began to hug him. People that didn't even knew him wrapped their arms around him, that had given countless hours for his safety, that had invested themselves to try to find him, that had given everything that they had to make sure that he was going to come home safely. We read in Genesis that we read this morning in Genesis 3 and 8. The first question that is asked in the Bible is when God steps back into that garden again. And the question is, "Where art thou?" He came looking for somebody that he loved. He came looking for somebody that was lost. He came looking for somebody. It wasn't that he did not know exactly where they were at, but you've got to understand, it's not until you understand where you are. It doesn't do you any good to be lost until you realize that you are lost. It doesn't do any good until you realize that he is over there and I am over here. He is moving over there and I have moved over here. He is desiring to know me over there, but I have allowed myself to drift to this place. He is looking, where are you? And my question to you this morning is, if he looked for you this morning, where would he find you? I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about, we know where you are this morning. I'm talking about in the spirit realm. Where are you spiritually in your life? You can sit here physically. You can look at me and you can hear the sound of my voice. But spiritually, there is something that has drifted. There is something that has moved. There is something that is not where it used to be. And even though God walked where he always walked, it wasn't God that had changed, or the garden that had changed. It was Adam and Eve that had changed. And his question was, where are you? He didn't come to scold. He didn't come to destroy. He didn't come to start over. He could have just wiped them out and created two more and begin it all over again. But where he was seeking to find them, it was because he wanted to start the restoration process. He was looking for them because it wasn't until that they found him, that he found them, that they were going to be able to start the process of realigning themselves with him. The first question asked, where art thou? What are you doing? Where are you? What is going on? I'm looking for you, not because I want to destroy you, but because I want to reconnect with you. I'm not looking for you because I've got things that I want to point out to everybody else in the world of your faults and weaknesses. I'm looking for you because I want to start the restoration process. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, God's first words to the first sinners were, where are you? I'm looking for you. I'm trying to find you. I want to reconnect with you. The decisions that you have made have separated you from me. Three words came through that dense thicket that day. Where are you? They must have not have been words that bellowed like anger that came through there. It must have been like Mike as he listened to those dogs in the distance, as he heard the hounds as they begin to make their way. And it wasn't a sound of fear, but it was a sound of joy. It wasn't a sound of, they're coming to get me, they're coming for me. But it was a voice that said, Adam, I'm looking for you. Adam, I feel separated from you. Adam, I feel like something has happened. I feel like that there is something that is different between our relationship. You're not where you used to be. I'm looking to reconnect with you again. So the question is, where are you this morning? When it comes to your relationship with him, where are you? If he stepped into this room today physically and he asked you, where are you? And you could say, oh, I'm right here, Jesus. This is where I am. But would this really be where you are? Even as I preach, your mind is already somewhere else. The thoughts of the week and the things that are going on in your lives. Spiritually, physically we are here. But spiritually, there are things that have drifted. There are things that are no longer where they once were. There are times in our lives we don't pray the way that we used to pray. We don't do the things that we used to do. There's been a drift that is pulled, that is pushed, that is drawn, that is... Eve, what are you doing? I'm just looking. Eve, what's the big deal? I'm just looking. Eve, are you making any plans to make drastic decisions in your life? Is this decision going to destroy your marriage? Is this decision going to pull you further away from God? Is this decision going to hurt your children? Is this decision going to forever drive a wedge between you and the people around you? Is this decision forever going to be something that is brought up from now until the day that you die? Is a place in your life that the enemy can use to say, don't you remember this moment in time in your life? And God says, where art thou? This new year, you've got to make some conscious decisions in your life. Where am I? We talk about New Year's resolutions. We talk about reconnecting. We talk about doing things better. We talk about fixing things. You're wondering, where do I start with this? Why am I not being used the way that I feel like God wants me to be used? Why is God not? Our whole theme for this year is reaching out. It's connecting. We're going to connect to our community. We're going to find lost souls. We're going to reach out. But the first place that you've got to start is in your relationship with God. I can't reach out to a community if I am over here. If he has no clue what's going on, if I have disconnected myself from him, then I am useless to the kingdom of God. How am I going to be used of God? First and foremost, it starts with my relationship with him. God, I've got to reconnect with you. I've got to reach out with you, Jesus. I've got to make sure that my relationship with you is intact, oh God. God, I've got some things in my life that I've got to change. I've got some things in my life that have to be realigned with you. In January, first week of January 2018. Why are we going to pray every night this week? Because it's important. I'm not going to come in here and pray cookie cutter prayers. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have moves of God. I want our church to have moves of God. Why? Because we've got to reunite. We've got to say, hold on one second. If there's something that's wrong, it's not because of him. It's because of me. The first question that was ever asked in the New Testament is when the wise men begin to make their way towards Herod. It's Matthew 2 and 1. The first question in the Old Testament is, where are you? That's a question you've got to ask yourself this morning. Where am I? Where am I? It doesn't matter where you are. If you don't realize that you're not where you're supposed to be, it doesn't do you any good. Where am I at? Where am I at in my relationship with God? Where am I at in my marriage? Where am I at with my children? Where am I at with my everything else that is going on in my life? Where am I? And when the three wise men stood in Herod's court, this is what it said in Matthew 2 and 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he? You've got to have two questions in your life today. One is, where am I? And the next one is, where is he? Because if there is a divide from where I am and where he is, then I've got to fix that divide. He's looking for me. He wants to find me. But I've got to come out from amongst the trees as Adam and Eve did and say, God, I've got to realign. God, where are you in my life, God? God, I have allowed myself, God. You have been looking for me, not because you don't know where I am, but because you can't do anything for me until I realize that where I am, it's not where you are. If you leave today and begin to walk through the woods, you'll walk in circles because you take stronger steps with your more dominant foot. You have to have a fixed point. You have to have a path. As human beings, we are not like any other critters on this earth that can find their way to point A to point B just by the senses that they have and their ability to do it with their minds and the way that things are. We have to have fixed points. We have to have maps. We have to have guidance. We have to have some, because if we do it all by ourselves, we are lost. So we've got to find out where that fixed point is. Where are you, Jesus? Where is it that you want me to be? What is it that I've allowed to drift in my life? What is it that I've allowed to change in my life? If I'm going to be, if I'm going to go, if I'm going to reach out, if I'm going to do, then I've got to get to where you are. It was Samson that, because he could feel the anointing, he felt safe. It was Samson, because that he could shake himself, the Bible says, and the power of God would come upon him, he felt like everything was okay in his life. It was because that the strength that he had, because you come into a room like today and the worship is so powerful and God is moving, and if you so desire, you know that you could just lift your hand and tap into it and feel his presence, and possibly you did, and that makes you feel good. It makes you feel safe because you can still touch him, you can still feel him. But it doesn't mean that we're where we need to be. It just means he's saying, where are you? It doesn't mean that I'm where I need to be. It just means that he loves me so much that he allowed me to feel his presence. He allowed me to feel the brush of angels' wings. He allowed his presence to move by my pew. He's reaching for me one more time. You say God doesn't love me, but he just reached for you. You say, I don't know if God will forgive me, but you're still feeling his presence. He's still asking, where are you? He's still reaching for where you're at. He's still trying to connect with you. Samson, the Philistines are here. I'm okay. I'm still strong. Samson, the Philistines are here. I'm okay. I'm still strong. I'm still anointed. I still feel his presence. Samson, the Philistines are here. The saddest story in the Bible is that Samson lost God and he never even knew it. Oh. God said, where are you? I'm okay. God said, where are you? I'm okay. God said, Samson, I'm looking for you. Don't worry about me. I'm still okay. I still feel his presence. I still can come to church. I can still get in an altar. It's all right that I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm okay. And then one day he woke up and he shook himself and he'd lost God and he didn't even know God was gone. Oh, Jesus. God, where are we? Where am I and where are you? There came a day in Samson's life that he stood there and they mocked and they made fun of him because of what he was and what he'd become. He said, bring me a boy. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I've got to do. Take me to a place that I can reconnect with God. Take me to a place that I can get back in touch with him. Take me to a place that I can feel him one more time. Take me to a place that he can use me one more time. Take me to a place where I can reconnect with my God. Take me to a place where something can change in my life. I can't take one more breath without him. I've got to reconnect with where he is. Lord, I ask you right now, your presence is in this place. Oh, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that we would begin to look into the depths of our soul this morning, oh God. That we would begin to examine ourselves and say, God, where am I? I hear your voice calling to me today, oh God. But it's not as close as it once was. It's a bit of a faint, distant call. But God, where am I? Where am I at, God? Where are you at this morning, Jesus? What is it that I've got to do to get back to where you are? As we all stand this morning, I don't want a lot of musicians, just a piano player and a singer. We don't need everybody up there this morning. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God in this place this morning so strong. We're going to be the church that God's called us to be, and the only way that that's going to happen is until we realize where we are and we make the shift to where he is. God will never come to where you are and change his life to fit you, but he'll keep calling to you and he'll give you an opportunity to realize where you are. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. This is what I've allowed into my life. These are the things that have brought me to this place. God, I know where I am this morning. God, now I want to find you. When was the last time that you talk in tongues? When was the last time that you felt his presence? When was the last time that you felt his glory and tears ran down your face? Not because of shame or you've done something wrong, but because his presence was so omnipresent in your life. When was the last time that you just felt like shouting? When was the last time that you just felt like shaking? When was the last time that you just wanted to put your hands in the air and say, God, I want to connect with you. I've got to. I don't have a choice. It's not you that's drifted, God. It's me. I stand here this morning. Samson said, where did he go? It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't just one decision. It was constantly. Where are you, Samson? Where are you, Samson? Good. Where are you, Samson? And then one day he shook, and God was no longer. Take my hand. Take me to that place where I can reconnect with him. Take me to that place where I can feel his anointing again. Take me to that place where I can find him. Take me to that place where I can be with him. Where I can reconnect. These altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this place that would like to say at the beginning of 2018, I want to go to an altar and I want, Jesus, I've got to reconnect with you today, God. Lord God, it's not because I meant to, but God, somehow, some way I've allowed myself to drift just a little bit. There's something about it of constantly just making that commitment. God, where are you? Like the three wise men, God, I want to find you, God. I've got a question for you today, God. Where are you? Not where am I? I know that I'm not where I need to be, God, but where are you? God, that you would take me to that place, that God, I could reconnect with you. God, that I would find that deep place in prayer. God, that in an altar this morning, oh God, that you would speak into my heart and into my spirit and into my soul. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, as we begin together as a church family this morning, where am I? And where are you, Jesus? God, where am I? And where are you, Jesus? God, I want to reconnect to you today, God. God, if I'm going to reach my community, if I'm going to be a part of a revival church, it starts with me. It starts with repentance. It starts with coming to an altar and saying, God, I've got to reconnect. I've got to reconnect, Jesus. I've got to reconnect. I've got to reconnect, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.